Good afternoon, Metro West. My name is Dan O'Brien, and I am Deputy Director of Multimedia at the Metro West and Milford Daily News. We're here today to discuss an annual regional employer survey put on by Framingham State University, the 495 Metro West Partnership, and the Daily News. The online survey has been going on throughout the month and closes this weekend. Later in November, the results will be shared during an event at the Warren Conference Center in Ashland. To that end, joining us today are Michael Harrison, Associate Professor of Marketing at Framingham State, and Paul Matthews, Executive Director of the 495 Metro West Partnership. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us, Dan, and Daily News readers.
Michael, we'll start with you. Tell us how the survey works, how long you've been conducting it, and how employers can answer it.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here. So the survey works via an automated online link, and it's basically about 24 questions. It'll take our employers less than 5 minutes to complete. And the survey has been out there now. This is our 6th year of conducting the 495 Metro West Partnership Annual Employer Survey and Forecast. So with our link, employers have several ways to access it. One is through the Metro West Daily News and the Milford Daily News website. And with our partnership with the 495 Metro West Partnership, we've collaborated with the Chambers of Commerce in the region, as well as the Workforce Investment Board, and also through Framingham State University's Career Services, where we have a network of employers that visit the university each year. So the employers have a number of ways to access the link for the survey.
I would add the link is also available on our social media sites and will continue to be so throughout the weekend. Paul, tell us a little bit about your organization and what role it plays in the business community and how you got together with Michael to team up for this survey.
Sure, but Dan, first, I'd be remiss if I did not thank you and Brennan and the Daily News for co-sponsoring this as our media sponsors. It's critically important to have you at the table, given your reach throughout the region. And I want to thank Michael. He's very modest, but this survey would not happen without Michael's hard work and analysis that gives a lot of clarity to our policymakers about employers' concerns. In terms of my own organization, the 495 Metro West Partnership, we were founded back in 2003 by a range of committed regional leaders from municipal government, state government, and the business community, including, as luck would have it, the Metro West Daily News at the time and Gatehouse Media and its predecessors. So we have been working since 2003 to bring together the public sector in the region and the private sector to address regional economic challenges. That's everything from transit. We took a leadership role in founding the Metro West Regional Transit Authority, to road and bridge investment, to workforce development, to keeping employers here and expanding here, to bringing new employers into the region, and a whole host of other issues that affect the 495 Metro West corridor.
Very good. Let's take a minute to turn back the clock a little bit and summarize some of last year's results from the survey. If I recall, the majority saw a regional economy that was improving and that appears to have played out, certainly in terms of historically low jobless rates. Would you agree?
Absolutely. The data that we've seen over the last couple of years, coming out of the kind of the what we call the jobless recovery for about 6 years from 2006 on to about 2012, a lot of the respondents and the employers in the area were initially, cautiously optimistic, and we've seen that optimism grow over the last 3 years.
And we seem to have moved on from filling jobs to finding the right people to fill these jobs.
I think you're absolutely right, Dan, particularly when you look at the state and regional unemployment rate. I mean, it's a phenomenal thing to have the unemployment rate be so low, and that's a huge good news measure. But by the same token, employers are in positions where they might be struggling a little bit to address specifically skilled positions. So I think that's reflected in some of the results we've heard the last few years by employers expressing an interest in workforce development programs and the need to make sure that retiring skilled workers are replaced by younger skilled workers.
What were some of the other positive takeaways that you found from last year as far as running business in this particular region?
my recollection, Dan, is that there was a strong level of satisfaction with the fact that the regional economy was humming along as a diverse economy and one that has a lot of different discrete industry clusters. A lot of my regional brethren in other areas of the nation that I work with specifically have one industry cluster in their region, and it might be, I mean, look at Detroit and auto manufacturing.
Right.
So the whole region rises and falls based on one industry, so it leaves it very susceptible to economic uncertainty. A great benefit to our region is the fact that we have so many different industry clusters, so that if one has a momentary faltering, the others are typically in a position to pick up that slack.
Yeah, I spent many years in Lowell and remember the rise and fall of Wang. It doesn't pay to be a one-trick pony.
No, and I think this region remembers Wang too, and Deck, and so many of the other
Prime.
Yes. However, what we are seeing is the facilities those companies had are now actually hosting the next generation of high technology companies. That's everything from Acacia Communications and Maynard at Mill and Main to Marlboro Hills hosting GE Healthcare. And once upon a time, it was Hewlett-Packard, and previous to that, it was Deck.
And I'd just like to add a couple of things from the survey that came out. One of the top reasons for the employers to locate in the 495 Metro West area is labor quality and having skilled labor. We've got a number of educational organizations in the area, so that's one of the draws to the region. Another item on the list that's one of the top priorities is, particularly relative to Boston, is real estate prices. So the employers right. often are citing, lower cost real estate in the area as well. And one of the top three reasons is, proximity to their clients. As you're mentioning with the clusters, a lot of the businesses in the area obviously are selling and working with other businesses in the area.
Several interstates have access to this region too, so that
absolutely
helps in that regard. On the other side of the coin, employers were given an opportunity to express concerns as well. Can you take a moment to talk about some of those? And some of the items near the top of the list include healthcare costs, the so-called skills gap, which we touched upon a little bit earlier, and transportation.
Yeah, I'm happy to, Dan. As to build on my earlier comment, I think one of the concerns we heard from employers are around aging workers that are highly skilled and the need to replace them. So I think the good news is on the state level, there's been a concerted effort. Massachusetts was one of the first states to get ahead of the reauthorization of the Federal Workforce Investment Act. And that's led to a number of innovations, including they're holding regional conversations around the state on key industries and key occupations. I'm fortunate enough to be representing the economic development side of the equation for the state in this region. And it's a very active conversation behind the scenes, as well as the fact that the governor has reorganized the workforce development entities in the state around a common brand, Mass Hires. And the thought was there is, I believe, 52 different brands around workforce development, depending upon where you were in the Commonwealth. And this should help job seekers and employers better navigate the resources that are in place to help with training and opportunities in professional employment.
Good. As far as this year's surveys goes, do you get a peek at the feedback as it's underway, or are you in the dark as everyone else until the survey closes and it's time to tally it all up?
Well, I am in the dark, so I'll turn to Michael and hear if he has a sneak peek for us.
Yeah, I do get to look at some of the results as they're coming in. As Paul said, I keep Paul in the dark until the last minute, but don't want to spoil the surprise. Now, what we're seeing so far is some more increased optimism with the economy doing so strong. As we mentioned earlier, the unemployment rate's so low, it seems to be a key driver. So businesses are pretty positive about a lot of their responses. With a few businesses in there that have some concerns still. As we mentioned, we've talked about transportation is still one of the big issues in the area. And Dan, as you mentioned, the labor quality, which is fascinating to me working at a university, to hear that labor quality is a reason to be attracted to the region, but it's also one of the things that keep employers up at night. So we're really trying to look at what the skills gap, when businesses say our recent graduates have a skills gap from any of the universities in the area, what do they really mean? And how do we as an educational institution in the industry help bridge that skills skills gap. You know, so far, what we're seeing is more of the softer skills, it seems to be, that employers are looking for, more of the confidence from recent college graduates and some of the business etiquette skills. And what we're trying to do at the university is we've got a number of initiatives and programs working. One's called World of Work, that Dr. Linda Vadengoed, our Academic Affairs Vice President and Provost, is spearheading. We have a number of advisory boards that we work with from the local business community, and so we're trying to understand that better and help our students prepare to come out much more marketable and try to close those skills gaps.
It's quite remarkable that this expansion has lasted 10 years. It wasn't particularly vigorous at first, but as you've mentioned, it seems to be gaining steam after all this time. To what do you attribute that to?
In this region, I think we are very blessed to have a tremendously strong workforce that are both living in the region and commuting to work in the region. They say one of the tricks in real estate is location, location, location. And we are poised at a location that can draw from commuters from central Massachusetts, whether it be Worcester, Fitchburg, Leominster, or point south into Connecticut. We can draw from Rhode Island. And the office park I work in has New Hampshire plates, as well as people coming from Boston. So we're able to really maximize a pool of skilled workers while our region is tremendously competitive at hosting highly skilled workers with young families. We have tremendous quality of life. We have tremendous school systems. And typically, when people start thinking about raising a family, they end up looking for home value and key location for employment. Schools, a whole host of other factors, end up locating in 495 Metro West. So as a consequence, our employment base has approximately 57% have a college degree and 20% have a graduate degree. And when you compare that to other parts of the country, it's better by a huge factor. I have colleagues who work in the South where college graduation rate is about 7% among the workers. So you do the math, that's a tremendous competitive advantage we have here that I think is helping to fuel our economic growth and prosperity.
How about this year's survey? Is there anything new on it based on the events of the past year? I know a lot of the questions are the same every year, but I know you like to stick in a couple that give a nod to current events and how they may affect the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. In 2016, we added a question about how the presidential race might affect the local businesses. This year, what we're adding to the survey is a question around the tariffs. As you know, recent increases in the tariffs that the president has proposed and is starting to be implemented now. So we're taking a look at how they may affect or not affect the local businesses here.
I don't know if you saw that story in the Boston Business Journal. They interviewed Elliot Tadelman from Jordan's Furniture, and he was encouraging everyone to buy now because those tariffs are going to affect our prices.
Yeah, no, I did not see it, but I think that's one of the potential ramifications that we'll be curious to see. I think it's unclear to some of us how the tariffs could affect the different industry clusters out here. I think this should provide some insights. But overall, the survey is tremendously useful in terms of helping inform our work being the partnership with our legislative delegation. They tend to look at the survey results as a snapshot of what our employers need moving forward. So in the past, some of the issues have been not only workforce, but transportation. And just to address your earlier question on transportation, there's been a great deal happening in this region on transportation right over the last 12 years, including the founding of the Metro West Regional Transit Authority, which we were proud to play a leadership role in with the legislators in the state. But also, if you look at all electronic tolling, you look at what's happening with the state reexamining the commuter rail model. I sit on an advisory group to the state as it's revisiting, should we look at scheduling improvements, reverse commute, different models of operation for commuter rail? I think there is a level of vision being given to the transportation discussion that's helpful. And everyone listening, if you haven't filled out the survey, please fill it out, because that gives us an opportunity to take your input right back to state officials, legislators, and local officials and help inform what happens in government.
Finally, tell us about the event you have planned to release the results next month in Ashland.
We are very fortunate that Framingham State University, not only loans us Michael to oversee and run this entire survey, but they also are very generous in providing space at the conference center, Warren Conference Center in Ashland. So last year was the first year we did a culminating event. We invite the legislative delegation and regional leaders from a whole set of different constituencies to the event in order to hear from Michael. It's the first analysis that's distributed other than to Metro West Daily News for your use in publication. It's the first time the region as a whole and our legislators had the benefit of the survey results. And last year we had a panel discussion of key business leaders, which we plan on doing again. I'll save those details as a surprise, but we are going to have some business leaders respond to the survey and share their perspective. And then we are also going to have a few legislators participating in the discussion with the audience so we can hear about what's happening on a state level from our advocates. And like I talked about with workforce development and transportation, sometimes there's a lot happening that is not well known or not in public knowledge. So this provides an opportunity to directly address some of the issues that arise in the survey.
Michael, Paul, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate the opportunity not only today, but to work with you on the survey. And it wouldn't be the same without you. So thanks, Dan, and thank you.